everyone, and welcome to the Empower Her podcast with Chris Sippy, a podcast for women to inspire others via their passion and expertise. This show is for women to go back into their communities and discuss how they can uplift and empower others. Before I get started on tonight's episode, I want to recognize and take a moment of silence for some history, her story, Katherine Johnson's passing. Mrs. Johnson was one of the hidden figures of today's society who determined the trajectory of how to send a man to the moon via NASA. She was played by Taraji P. Henson in the movie Hidden Figures over 3 years ago. May you rest in heaven, Queen, and your works will not be in vain. So many young women was inspired by you and your teamwork. Woman of color in the field of science and technology. Take that moment of silence now for her. Thank you. Now back to our wonderful guests. On tonight's episode, I have Ms. Crystal Salisbury of Oxford. Hey, Crystal, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Just trying to stay afloat of everything that's been going on today.
I can truly understand that.
Yes, especially like, you know, the news of her passing this morning, and of course, like the memorial service for Gigi and Kobe. It was very, very, I don't want to call it thought-provoking because it's still a shock of his passing, and I guess just everything that kind of unfolded from that, and just the, you know, the different families that were involved in this crash and all the lives that were lost, and then it's just, I don't know. I guess it's just one of those things, you know, especially being like he was kind of a pillar of the community. So many people looked up to him in the sports world, even as an entrepreneur, even as a philanthropist. So, and then Miss Johnson, her passing, her being over 100 years old, being recognized for the things she's done, because I, you know, really nobody, people knew that there were women that helped out NASA. With the whole trajectory of getting a man to the moon and things like that, but to actually realize this, these ladies were still like present, and she was like one of the only ones that still was living at the time. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I understand where you're coming from. It's unfortunate, of course, of her passing as well as Kobe and his daughter Gigi. But one thing I can say, it teaches us to live life to the fullest and to really walk in our purpose. And I believe they all did that. So that's worth celebrating.
Yes, absolutely. So I first want to congratulate you on your nomination for Best Content at the 2020 Global Beauty Awards. That's wonderful that you're being honored and recognized for your work in the industry. So if you could tell the listeners about who you are and, you know, what you kind of got going on right now.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the congratulations. It is indeed an honor to be recognized in the industry and for people to actually pay attention to what I'm doing and my content. So I'm very grateful for that opportunity. As far as who I am, once again, my name is Crystal Salisbury. I am an entrepreneur. I am an author, a content creator, a model, an actress. I wear many hats, but one of the hats that I wear that I'm extremely proud of, that I am extremely grateful for, is the hat that I wear in pageantry. I'm currently a pageant coach. I have a pageant coaching platform called Crystal Clear Pageantry. It is a web-based platform that is designed to coach and educate women and girls on how to have a winning mindset, Make a good presentation and develop self-confidence. I do this through a number of ways. Of course, one-on-one coaching, courses, content creation, books, and workshops.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Especially working with a lot of young women in this industry, which we'll talk a lot more about in this episode, because it's kind of one of those things I love talking about. Like, if people know me personally, they know it's either discussions on mental health or pageants, which, you know, they in a sense kind of go hand in hand, but that's two things that really kind of intrigues me a lot. So just to be on this episode with you, that is another individual that loves pageantry just as much, and puts in the footwork in the process of inspiring others through this process, because a lot of people don't understand that it's more than a gown, it's more than a crown, and it's way more than world peace.
Absolutely.
that we involve ourselves in the process, and then as well as the behind the scenes, those individuals that help work and put on these productions, and also those who mentor. So kudos with that. So how long have you been in the pageant industry? And, you know, if you could tell the listeners, what is your story?
Well, I've been in the pageantry industry for, I want to say, about 17 years off and on. I started in 2002. And let me just backtrack before that. Prior to pageantry, I had no interest in the industry whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to believe because I've been in it for so long. But initially, I had no interest in the industry. And the reason for that is because I didn't see myself as a quote unquote pageant girl. Growing up, I did deal with some self-esteem issues. Didn't really think I was pretty enough to compete. Of course, I would attend pageants. Back in the day, I used to be a part of talent shows, and I would sing at some of the pageants that were happening in my hometown, Roanoke, Alabama. So I was aware of them, but never really had the idea of competing in them until one day my mom suggested that, oh, you should compete in one of the pageants, you know, in our hometown. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. So I said, that is not my thing. I don't do pageants. I am an academician. I'm a nerd. Give me my books and my academics. That's what I love to do. I'll sing at a pageant, but I'm not competing in one. That was kind of my mindset. Mm-hmm. and that mindset actually changed in 2002 because I randomly received some information in the mail about competing in this pageant called, at the time it was called the Miss Teen of Alabama pageant. And the Miss Teen of Alabama pageant was a preliminary to the Miss Teen of America. Now, the Miss Teen of America still exists today, but they have rebranded their name to the American pageants. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I was drawn to this system, because it was not your typical beauty pageant. They looked at your academics. They looked at your community service. They celebrated the girl as a whole. And that intrigued me because that was more in alignment with what I had going on at the time. I was very involved in school. I was an academician. I really was focused on making good grades. And that pageant system was in alignment with my own personal goals. So when I received that information, I said, you know what? I'm going to give this a try. Absolutely had an amazing experience at that pageant. Of course, I didn't win, but I did walk away with two awards. I won the 17-year-old Achievement Award and the Community Service Award. And because of that experience, it put me on this path, this pageantry path, to compete even more. And later on, I think a couple months later, I competed in my actual school pageant, and I was in the top 10 at that pageant. And went off. That was my senior year. Went off to college. I did one pageant in college, but I was really focusing on education, so I kind of put pageantry to the back end. But once I graduated from college, I pursued it yet again. So I've been involved ever since.
Wow. Wow. And see, people think that, you know, oftentimes we either choose pageants or pageant chooses us. Mm-hmm. And in your case, Crystal, seems like pageant chose you.
It early. Did. It absolutely did. Because if it was if it was for me, I probably would have never chosen it. I'm just gonna be honest.
Gotcha. And you know, what is kind of some of the things that you typically hear, or the kind of, I guess, what one would call a myth that you typically hear about pageant girls, and like, what is your like dispel for it? Like, what's your rebuttal for that myth?
One myth is about, oh, pageant girls are stuck up. It's all about the glitz and glamour. And I'm not saying those statements, of course, in my opinion, those statements are untrue, but there are some women that are and girls that can be stuck up. I'm not, negating that, but that is not inclusive of all pageant women and girls. We
Absolutely.
are community, we are in the community, we're academicians, we're entrepreneurs, we're coaches. We empower women and girls. We do a lot in this industry. So this industry is just not one-sided. And it's some people think, oh, it's just for a girl of a certain body type. It's only for skinny girls, or it's only for girls who are a certain shade of color, as far as light skin versus dark skin or Caucasian, And that's not the case, because I believe there's a pageant for every type of woman, whether
Agree.
you're tall, whether you're short, whether you're thin, whether you're plus size, it doesn't matter. Because, we as women are not one size fits all. So pageants can't be that way either.
Exactly. It's not cookie cutter, as most
Absolutely.
people see it's being cookie cutter, but I'm beginning to like the idea that it's a lot of inclusiveness now. In some cases, some still have those politics. However, I guess that overall look, is starting to be a lot of inclusiveness and kind of recognizing different things or correcting some wrongs that's been going on in the past dealing with pageantry. So, why pageants? Other than, you know, what you mentioned earlier, which is great. So I'm guessing singing was one of your talents.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So, why, you know, what I guess outside of the competition, which sound like a really, really good experience, just why pageants? You know, why continue? Why did you continue, rather?
I would say this: pageants allowed me to discover who Crystal really is. For so long, I fit into a box. Like, I was this very shy, very quiet girl that didn't really have a voice. And pageantry helped me to find my voice. But not only find my voice, but discover my purpose. For years, I didn't know what I was created to do on this earth. Until I got involved in pageantry, I knew that I had a passion for empowering women and girls. And I believe had it not been for pageantry, I don't think I would have discovered that. So for me, it helps me to really not only walk in my purpose, but to really, hone in on skills that I'm constantly developing, whether it be communication, whether it be confidence. So those are the number of things of why I still compete in pageants and can still continue in the industry today.
Gotcha. And you kind of said something that kind of stuck out when you mentioned about confidence and that it was kind of a skill building encounter. A lot of times people look at pageants as though, you know, you're just competing or you're just doing community service just to get this crown, but it's the interview process is similar to a job interview. You have
It
to dress. You have to have proper etiquette. It's almost the same etiquette as you applying for a Fortune 500 company or even a, you know, getting into the beauty industry or whatever. So people think that it's just a, oh, it's just the interview. You're just getting up there talking about things. No, a lot of these young ladies are very professional women. Very professional lawyers, doctors, sports agents, politicians, you know, coaches, teachers, doctors. It's a lot of different women that, you know, either they're aspiring to get there or they're already there and they chose to do pageantry so that they can showcase and tell others about what their platform is about. And a platform, you know, is what I typically would call it. That crown is a megaphone. is just like a cheerleader standing on the sidelines and she's pumping up her team, pageants are about the same.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know. I think it's just one of those in which you said, you know, the process is, it was a skill building situation. You mentioned earlier that you're a coach as well. So what are the typical ages and backgrounds of a lot of the young ladies that you work with when you're coaching?
As far as my target audience is concerned, I typically like to coach girls who are teens, 13 and up. However, I do coach, you know, younger on a case-by-case situation. But typically, I tend to, not that I'm, well, let me just put it this way. I feel like I can reach teens into adults better than I can younger ones. Now, I will coach younger ones because I have done it in the past, but I feel like I'm more successful in that age when it comes to that target audience, teens through adults.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you kind of mentioned a little bit about the younger groups. How do you feel about like baby pageants? Like, you know, because we're both from the South.
Mm-hmm.
And baby pageants are kind of one of those industries. I know people see titles and tiaras, but there is a real culture. And
oh, yes.
There is a real culture. How do you feel about that, you know?
This is just my personal opinion. You know, we're all free moral agents. We can do whatever we want to. Parents can put their babies in pageants. That is up to them. As for me, I just believe a child needs to be of a certain age. Like, for instance, if you want to put your baby in a pageant, I think the child needs to at least be walking so they can have sort of an experience being on stage, walking on stage. Because a lot of times people will, you know, enter their newborn that's 2 days old in a pageant. And I'm thinking, well, okay. And the baby's asleep the whole time while the mom's holding the child. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, that's all you can say. It's like,
yeah,
hard to judge. But I would suggest, this is just, like I said, my opinion, that at least I would say this child needs to be at least walking before you enter them into a pageant. And yes, at least have some sort of personality that can be a little bit independent. Of course, the parent can be up on stage with them, but they can somewhat kind of maneuver on stage themselves and wave and, you know, do all the cute things we love to see the younger ones do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because I guess, like I was saying, I know that it's a culture. It kind of goes harder than your bigger pageant sometimes, where and which it's a great opportunity, don't get me wrong, because, you know, young ladies do need things to do and it kind of grooms them for those bigger pageants. It's just kind of one of those things, if you've never attended a baby pageant, you're missing out on some great opportunities to see a lot of different things going on. They're interesting. A lot of young ladies have a lot of personality at very, very young ages. So
they do.
You know, where they end up, you kind of can see where they'll, you know, become or where they'll be with that much energy and personality that they have. Did you ever compete in, I think you mentioned something about you started with in grade school or middle school?
Oh, I was 17, so I was kind of a late bloomer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of started out like doing them in church, like the small church pageants, the fundraising stuff and for school. And then I took a slight break. So I didn't think I started like serious competing a little later as well. So I understand. I think nowadays, because it's becoming very mainstream and a lot of parents are trying to groom a little bit quicker, especially that they see, like, even back off what you were saying earlier, that it's not a cookie cutter format for pageantry anymore. I think that the representation does mean a lot now.
It does.
you know, Black queens, and they're trying to, you know, say, hey, look, I can, you know, my daughter could be the next Miss Teen USA or Miss USA or what is it, Miss Universe, Miss America. So I think that's kind of one of those situations now, is that everybody's trying to get in there, which is a great thing.
It is.
Really, really great. So what is something that you normally, just going back to coaching, what is something that you normally tell your clients when you're coaching them? You know, one of the, I guess, something that you kind of let them know as they're preparing.
A key thing that I tell pretty much all of my clients is that the crown is first manifested in the mind. And I'll explain that. It doesn't matter how many hours I coach with you. It doesn't matter how much money you spend on a dress. It does not matter how much you spend on hair, makeup, accessories. If you do not believe that you are a winner, if you do not believe that you're going to do well, all of that other stuff was not even worth the time or the effort. Because in the end, you're not going to be successful because you don't believe it yourself.
Absolutely.
And I tell them this up front, that if you're struggling with the mental aspect, if you have a negative mindset, that's something we need to work on first. So I give my clients a list of affirmations. I'm really big on affirmations. I believe affirmations are statements of support that empower us to believe things that are already true about us. For instance, my favorite affirmation is, I am fierce and I am fabulous. Mm-hmm. I say that to myself all the time. I write it in my journal because at the end of the day, I am fierce and I am fabulous. So you have to create your own statement of what will help you to move forward in life and start seeing great things about yourself. So I give them a list of affirmations that have worked for me and I believe will work for them. And sometimes it takes repeating those affirmations over and over and over again, writing them down, saying them in front of the mirror until you get it. Because a lot of us have been marinating toxic thinking for so long that it's hard to make that mental shift. So I try to train them to tell them to train your brain for success. A lot of us just need a good old brainwashing because we've been fed so much negativity that we start to believe it. And I tell girls, I said, listen, if you don't believe you're going to do well, we're both wasting our time, because in the end of the day, you're not going to win the crown. I just hate to be blunt, but that's the reality, because the crown must first be manifest in the mind. So let's get that mind right first, and then we can work on the other mechanics.
That's a word. That is a word.
I'm a living testimony. And I'm going to share this with you. I've been keeping journals, oh my gosh, for several years now. I can't even remember when I started. And I call it my prosperity journal. And I write in it. I try to write in it every day. I've kind of become slacking in that area, but I picked it back up. And I would write in it every night. And I would write down the things that I had accomplished that day, the things that I value. And then I would write at the very end, I would write some affirmations of things that I want to manifest in my life. And during the time when I was heavily competing in pageants, I would say, I am such and such title. And I write it in my journal every single day up until the time I was competing up until the competition date. And guess what? I would win that pageant.
Wow.
Because I had trained my brain to believe that I was already the winner. Now, of course, I was, you know, working on my walk. I was working on interview questions and, you know, all the other things that you need to prepare. But I had to prepare my mind for it first. And every title that I have won has been based on my mental preparation.
You're so right. Because it also kind of puts you in the mindset of, you know, a lot of people are talking about manifestation. And when you're like trying to keep those SMART goals, especially beginning of the year, you're writing these goals down, you're trying to make them plain and everything. But if you don't believe in them yourself, that pen and that paper means nothing.
Nothing at all. You waste your time.
Yes. it kind of goes against everything that you're probably saying to yourself. You mm-hmm. know, if you don't believe in it, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And you mentioned about the attitudes. If you don't have the positive attitude, which, you know, judges feed off of that when you get in that interview room.
They do. Mm-hmm.
No matter how bubbly you could be, no matter how much information that you know, if they identify, just like anybody else can identify if a person really is in it for, you know, to express their passions, to actually want to learn more. It doesn't mean, you know, you got to be just, I know everything. But long as you get in there and tell them, hey, this, you know, I'm vying for this title because I see a purpose for it in my community. I want to be, you know, an advocate for whatever your cause is. No matter if somebody think it's a small cause, it's big to you. So, mm-hmm. it, you know, it's really, I don't know, what you just said really is thought-provoking. I'm going to have to write that down somewhere. because it is mental. It's mental. And even if, listeners, you're not in the pageant world or anything like that or the beauty industry, this still could be used in everyday life, is that it all starts in the brain.
It does. Whatever the mind can conceive, the mind will achieve.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he thinketh, so he be. I can't remember who said it, it's one of the philosophers. Mm-hmm. But it's true. Whatever you think, it's going to become. Or whatever you think of yourself, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are what you think. So, not eat, but think. Oftentimes. So you're absolutely correct. So what areas, I know we talked about coaching, what areas within the pageant industry have you done, of course, outside of coaching and competing, what else do you have? I think you mentioned earlier a little bit about your books and, you know, how you, I think you kind of interviewed a couple of people, I guess, expressing to the girls about the industry through other mediums.
Absolutely. As far as the industry is concerned, I am a judge. I still judge pageants to this day. Mm-hmm. I've served as an MC. I am a content creator, which most people know that as blogger. So, and I have had the opportunity to interview some amazing title holders. For instance, I had the opportunity to interview Miss Nia Franklin, Miss America 2019. And I also interviewed Dani Walker. She was Miss Montana USA 2018. And she is a popular content creator in the pageantry industry. And she has her own YouTube channel as well. I've been a stage manager. I'm currently a stage manager for a national pageant, the America's Elite Miss Pageant. I'm on staff there. I am their stage manager. I'm an author. I've written books about pageantry. My first book that I have written is called Manifest the Crown, A Crystal Clear Guide to Pageantry Success. And pretty much that is a guide that I wrote from my perspective in pageantry and what some of the things I have done to be successful. And I believe other girls can do those same things if they want to be successful and manifest their own crowns. I've also written another book called Affirm the Queen, 50 Affirmations that Empower Women and Girls for Success. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a big believer in affirmations. We have to train our brains for success. And I created 50 of those affirmations that deal with not only pageantry, but just mm-hmm. life in general, to really start training your brain to think the right things so you can begin to see some things manifest in your own life. And I've also written a book on financial principles. It's called Kingdom Finances, 40 Financial Principles that Empower Women and Girls. No, excuse me. 40 Financial Principles that Empower You to Properly Manage Money. And I wrote an ebook that's really geared towards pageantry. It's called Cash for the Crown, And this book talks about ways that you can pay for your pageantry expenses, because competing in pageants can be very expensive depending on what system you compete in. So I created 12 practical ways to pay for those expenses. Innovative ways, things you probably never thought of before. And that's actually currently on my website, www.crystalclearpageantry.com. And it's a free ebook, so if your listeners want to download that. And I also, my latest book is called Intangible Crowns. And what that book is about has nothing really to do with pageantry. I just like using crowns in a lot of my things because, I'm a pageant girl. But these are qualities I believe every woman should possess if she wants to live out her God-given purpose. And that is my latest book. It came out in September of last year. And all of my books, minus the ebook, are on Amazon. So they can look up Crystal Salisbury, Crystal Bell Salisbury, and they can find my books on Amazon.
Yeah, I heard that now. Go on Amazon.
Go on Amazon.
Purchase you some books, which is really, really good, Crystal, because, I think a lot of times people don't understand there's passion in everything. There's a passion just to, get, how can I say this? When you start your day and the first thing you kind of constantly think about, to some it might not be a change. To some they might say, well, I don't find that important. I might find something else important, but there's a purpose. Somebody else may have that same passion. Somebody else may have that same drive. So it's really good that you're writing books and inspiring others to, follow their dreams. If it by means of being in a pageant, cool. You can utilize those books for that purpose. If it by means of just becoming an entrepreneur or maybe becoming their own content creators or whatever they would like to write on, that's just a great avenue. So it's, even though, mostly about pageants, it's still great that it can inspire others through many other, areas of expertise. So that's really good. And I guess before we take a small break, I also want to kind of ask you about your show on Facebook. Is it Facebook, or where do you typically do your Manifest the Crown show?
Well, my Manifest the Crown Monday, I do Facebook and Instagram Live.
Okay.
And Manifest the Crown Monday is a segment that I like to do every Monday or whenever I have the time to do it, because sometimes I don't do it every Monday, depending on what my schedule is like. But I typically try to go live every Monday. And it's a 10 to 15 minute segment on topics related to the industry, whether it be I may discuss interview, I may discuss pageant accessories, I may discuss paperwork, having a winning mindset. Any topic that you can think that's related to the industry, I try to cover it in about 10 to 15 minutes. Just kind of give them a little tip, kind of like micro coaching in a sense. Mm-hmm. Of course, if they want the full package, they can always schedule a session, but just a little bit of micro coaching, weekly segments that I try to educate people in the industry.
Cool. That's really cool.
And it's all limited. The time is every Monday at 7 o'clock PM Central Standard Time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect. See, I heard that. See, now you got two things to do. You got books to either purchase from Amazon, or you can get, a small session, live, and then you can book your personal session with her for coaching. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
That is really awesome. Before we go into break, just, again, keep in mind those things. And, people can still get involved in many ways. This, your books may help, like I said earlier, may help inspire someone to do some great things. Who knows? It's kind of one of those situations when you birth something, you really don't know what's the end result. You know what you want your end result to be, but you really don't know what that end result will be of how big things will become or manifest, as though, you know, those would say, those people, you know, anybody would really say. So, hey, just never know. But right now, we're going to take a brief break and we'll continue this conversation momentarily. Guys are enjoying this conversation on one of my favorite topics, pageantry. We have Miss Crystal here, who has been providing gems left and right, like literally left and right, and she was doing a little promo too. So y'all, you know, hop in on that. I want to switch up the topic to discuss your break from retirement. Please inform the listeners about your current project. Well, current pageant, I should say.
Okay. You are indeed correct. I am officially out of retirement. I will be competing in the Miss Natural Hair and Health Expo Beauty Pageant on Saturday, March 21st, 2020 at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex in Birmingham, Alabama. So I'm very excited about that.
Okay. And that is great. It's Naturalista.
So, yes.
So what are the areas of competition for this pageant?
The areas of competition is there is an personal introduction, mm-hmm. evening wear, there is a natural hair competition, and then there is an onstage question.
Okay, cool. So
and one more thing, and there's a, I forgot about this. There is a social media / tickets sale competition portion. So we're each of the contestants are asked to sell a certain amount of tickets as well as promote on social media.
Okay, so mm-hmm. how much are those tickets? Just inform the listeners so that they can support you. If they're not in the Birmingham, Alabama area, at least they could purchase a ticket and maybe give to someone else.
Absolutely. The tickets right now are currently $15 for general admission. However, if you wait till the day of the show, there'll be $20 at the door. So it's best to get them in advance. And you can get them from me. Crystal Salisbury, you can find me on Instagram. I'm just going to give you my Instagram. On Instagram, I am Crystal Bell. And my other Instagram handle is Crystal Clear Pageantry. Or you can find me on Facebook at Crystal Clear Pageantry. If you're interested in purchasing a ticket to attend, or you want to just gift it to someone and just support me, please send me a message because I will be more than happy to mail you the ticket. And of course, as far as payment is concerned, we can work that out as well. But tickets are currently $15 and I have plenty of them on hand. So let me know if you're interested.
Yeah, I heard her. So outside of that, are there any other areas of competition, or is that pretty much everything? Just for those who are interested next year.
That's pretty much everything, but I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Before you can compete in the main pageant, you have to go through prelims. And our preliminary competition was back in January. And the preliminary competition consisted of an interview. So from the interview, they had a panel of judges. You had maybe 10 to 15 minute interview with the panel of judges. Mm-hmm. And of course, we had to walk for the judges as well. And from that preliminary interview, they selected 9 ladies to move on to the actual main pageant. Mm-hmm. We went from 9, but actually we're at 7 now. So we're considered the natural 7.
Okay.
So it's going to be 7 young ladies competing in the pageant. So first you have to go through prelims and you pay the pageant fee, go through prelims. The judges will select, you know, this year they selected 9. It may be different depending on the year. Mm-hmm. And from there you go to the main pageant. We've had some of the activities that we've done so far, we have done an official photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And those pictures are actually on social media right now. So you all can check that out. Go to the Natural Hair and Health Expo Facebook page. They're on Facebook and Instagram. So check out the contestants. Read up on their stories. Also, we're actually having a media reception in a couple of weeks as well. And then, of course, the actual pageant is on March 21st.
Awesome. So I know you've been pretty much preparing, trying to get ready.
Yes, I have. I have. And of course, even though I am a coach, I believe every coach needs a coach. So
Yeah.
I will be meeting with my coach on tomorrow to help me even further prepare for this pageant.
Awesome. Awesome. That's really good. That's really, really good. And I can't wait to find out on March 21st for you to walk away with the crown or whomever out of the Natural Seven. It's kind of
Absolutely.
catch name.
Yes, I love it.
That's cute. So, yeah. Also, could you kind of inform the listeners on the actual pageant system? Because I think this is kind of a new one to some.
Well, the Miss Natural Hair and Health Expo Beauty Pageant, it is a part of the Natural Hair and Health Expo, which this expo is probably the fastest growing expo in the Southeast. And this expo is pretty much catered to women who wear their hair in its natural state. There will be different vendors there that talks about different natural hair products, health related products, accessories, you name it. And there is a pageant attached to this expo. And the pageant is pretty much for women who wear their hair in their natural state, who celebrate their natural hair and being their authentic selves. This is actually the fourth pageant for the Miss Natural Hair and Health Expo Beauty Pageant. So pretty much it's a celebration of women who wear their natural hair.
Awesome. That's awesome. Which will segue to my next question. Do you feel that pageants that cater to a specific race or background is necessary now that, we have four reigning national, international queens of color, that some so happily wear their hair in a natural state? What are your thoughts, I guess, now? Because, we have systems like the Miss Natural Hair Expo, Empowerment Pageant, or the Miss Black and Natural, the Miss Black USA, Miss Black America. Let's see, trying to think of all the other systems that, cater to women of color. What are your, I guess, thoughts about that now?
My thoughts are, even though I'm so excited that you have mainstream systems like Miss America, Miss USA, Miss Universe, who are allowing not only women of color, but just women of color of all backgrounds, whether they wear their hair in its natural state, short, long, what have you. And we're occupying a space that allows us to be ourselves in these mainstream systems. I still believe that women of color still needs their own sacred space, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
Because it gives us the opportunity to not only celebrate who we are as African American women, but to celebrate our culture, celebrate just who we are and be unapologetic about it. So I feel that we still need those sacred spaces.
Yes, because I think that it's kind of like the job isn't completely done in a sense. Like they win, and it's a great celebration for us. But as far as the rest of the world, it's still like, oh, well, why did she win? Oh, they just needed her, for this year and things like that, or just the mistreatment on social media during the crowning. So it's kind of like the job isn't completely done, slightly, but it's always that question now, like, okay, so are y'all done crying now because we done crowned one of y'all, and it's not over. It's still
It's not.
it's the representation is one thing, but the work, the actual acknowledgement is the other part. So I wholeheartedly agree with you. And then that sacred space, where we can be who we are, and it's not like, because I think it's still a sometimes it's a code switch sometimes in some cases in some scenarios, not all systems, but some systems where you still have to almost kind of look for some type of acceptance, even in its own little way.
And even with the natural hair, a lot of times there's even some differences when it comes to the type of natural hair you have, because some people prefer the loose, you know, the society sometimes prefer the loose curl more so than a tight curl. So you have pageants like Miss Natural Hair and Health Expo. It doesn't matter if your hair is curly, kinky, what have you. We're all natural, you know, and we're not discriminated because of the texture of our hair. Because for me, I'm a 4C kinky, straight from the motherland. That's the type of hair I have. And I'm okay with that. But a lot of times when you're dealing with a lot of mainstream systems, they tend to, even though they'll, you know, you've seen a lot of girls who have competed with natural hair. And of course, our beautiful Miss South Africa, who is our current Miss Universe. I'm glad they're totally, you know, they're accepting even the shorter styles, you know. And that's a beautiful thing. But we still need our sacred spaces to be able to celebrate the totality of who we are.
Yes. And to educate.
And to educate, absolutely.
Yes, because, you know, they, if it wasn't for the Miss Black Americas, the Miss Black USAs, the Miss, now we got Miss Black, well, International Ambassadors, and systems like that, if it wasn't for those systems, then it wouldn't be, you know, that space. Or the Miss Natural Hair Expo. Because, you know, a lot of times, like you said, with pageantry, a lot of times it's the wavy, almost the wet and wavy styles that people typically think of when they say, "Oh, your hair is natural." But when it's the coarse, kinky hair, they're like, "That's not comb," but it is comb.
Exactly.
And it's
I don't know how to, I don't know how I feel about that. You know, like, what do you mean? This is what grows out of my scalp. Like, I don't understand.
Exactly. All natural.
Absolutely.
And it still has length. That's the crazy part.
People it does. Are
thinking like, oh.
It's healthy. At the end of the day, it's healthy. That's all that matters. Because that was one of the reasons why I went natural was because I grew tired of the damage relaxers were doing to my hair.
Yes.
And it was damaging pretty much my entire life. And I just got tired of it. It's just, I would get to a certain, because I love long hair. But, you know, of course, when we're young, we come to this world natural. And then as our hair grows, you know, our moms, this was the case for me, can't speak for everybody, you know, your mom gets tired of doing your hair because it's too kinky and it's just unmanageable. So they put the relaxers in your hair. Well, that works for a while. Your hair does grow. But in my case, my hair would grow to a certain length and then it would break off. And that went on for years. And it got to a point, you know, in my early, like mid-20s, I said, okay, enough is enough. This is not working. I'm like, I want long and healthy hair, and I'm not getting long and healthy hair.
Yeah.
So I have to make a change, and I have to do the necessary work. I've heard the stigma, like, oh, natural hair is so much work. It takes forever. You know, you hear all that. And I will be honest, it does take some time. However, I've been natural for 6 years now, and I don't regret the decision because my hair is in such a much better state than what it was several years ago.
Yes. Me too. Me too. I got a similar story. The only difference is that, like, my situation was I got tired of, because, you know, at one point people were, like, trying to, like, perm their edges when they got, like, sew ins, and I thought that was, like, the dumbest thing in the world.
So yes.
I'm gonna just stop getting relaxed because I'm gonna just braid it up, put it under some tracks over it anyway. So why even get a sewing? I mean, you know, a perm. So that's kind of the same. And I mean, you know, if you are relaxed in 2020, fine. That's your, you know, your thing. But
absolutely,
I can say it's a huge difference with your hair when it's natural compared to relaxed. Like, you can almost do, it's like you said, it is a little bit of work, but it's kind of like, it kind of molds, like, however you want to do it, it'll kind of fall into that style. Now, I can say now, rain and humidity are not our friends.
Oh no.
Unless somebody tests that theory for me, I ain't seen it work yet. But but it is still able, we're still able to kind of, you know, we can braid it down, twist out, wash out, braid out, blowout or, you know, silk press, however you want to do it. So, a braid, you know, box braids, a twist or whatever. But that's the only thing I think that is our, I guess what you would call a kryptonite is that, that rain and humidity.
Oh, yes.
Well, we want to.
And you can achieve that relaxed look even as a natural girl. For instance, you can do the silk out, you know, mm-hmm. get your hair flat iron. I try to do at least once a year mm-hmm. to really kind of get a good trim. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I can achieve that look. If I want to have a straight look, I can achieve that look. If I don't want to straighten my hair, I'm going to throw a wig on there. That's one thing I like about being natural is the versatility. Yes. I can change up my style anytime I want to be honest. Like, I don't feel like I'm missing out on not being relaxed.
Yes.
If that makes any sense.
It does. It really does. And then too, like, you know, like even dreads are becoming versatile. Like I've seen some people get sew-ins on top of their dreads. I've seen people get box braids on mm-hmm. their dreads. And I'm like, oh, okay, so we're taking it to the next level. Now
a lot of people
are with the fro, now we got dreadlocks that we turn into. I said, oh, okay then. And mm-hmm. curls, no. So I think it's, which is also another great thing about being a woman of color and competing in systems is that, or in the beauty industry just in general, is that we can wear our hair multiple ways and still be beautiful.
That is so true.
So that's a really, really great thing. So, you know we kind of got a little bit on tangent, but hey,
it's, I know.
It's typically how it goes. Like I tell everybody, we get comfortable, we start talking about stuff, which is great because it needs to be said, especially in this industry. It's still the beauty industry. We're still we still create some type of influence on society through beauty. A lot of people in the beauty or music industry or modeling or anything like that kind of started in pageants. So, you know, you can almost look up anybody. They competed in some pageant. If it's not a state pageant or they held a title as high as Miss USA or whatever, they started somewhere in on somebody's stage in some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
So of course the title episode is called Her Story. You pretty much have told us a lot about things that you've done or currently doing or about to get started doing. You know, you gave a lot of gems, which why this episode is called Her Story. Why do you believe that this is a historic time in pageantry, the beauty industry, or just in general? And then also, what do you believe is your mark currently at this time? Of course, life continues to evolve, but at this time, what do you believe is your mark?
To answer your first question about this being a historic moment in pageantry, mm-hmm. I think a lot of women are being unapologetic about who they are. And they're owning that and not being afraid to showcase that. Because I look at our Miss Universe. I look at our Miss USA, our Miss Teen USA. And of course, our former Miss America, Nia Franklin. These women were unapologetic about who they are. And they own that. And that's a beautiful thing. Because piggybacking on my story, for so many years, I didn't live in my truth, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like people wouldn't accept me for who I was. And this is even going with the natural hair thing. One of the reasons why I was kind of reluctant about going natural was because I felt like I wouldn't be accepted, especially in the industry. Because this was like, you know, in my mid-20s, you know, I think the natural hair movement was kind of just starting. And I just felt like I wouldn't be accepted in the industry. I felt like I would have to hide my hair, you know, under a wig or sew in. But when I finally went natural, it was an awakening for me that I just felt like I can do anything and I didn't care what people thought. And for people like Chess Lee and our Miss Teen USA, I feel like they're owning who they are and they're unapologetic about it. And I think that's what makes true queens. And I love that about them. And to answer your question about your second question about what is my mark? I feel like my mark is to inspire and empower women and girls to create their own vision for their life. Whether that vision is to win a crown, whether that vision is to be an entrepreneur, an author, whatever it is to really have that crystal clear vision of what they want their life to be. And not only have that vision, but to execute that vision. It's one thing to have a vision because we can all have visions, but you have to execute it as well. And execute it in a way that you are confident in doing that and you're unapologetic about it and you're not worried about what others are going to say. And I say unapologetic, and I say unapologetic, I keep reiterating that because a lot of times we as women, especially women of color, we care so much about what others think. And I think it sometimes stifles our growth because at the end of the day, we have to do what makes us happy. Regardless if it's the norm, regardless if it doesn't make sense or not, I've come to the conclusion at 35 years old, I'm going to do what makes me happy. I don't care if it doesn't make sense to you or the next person. So if Crystal is happy being an entrepreneur, a pageant, a contestant, coach, what have you, then that's what Crystal is going to do. And you can accept it or you cannot accept it. I don't care either way because I'm still going to do me. And I think we as women should be firm in that and just be unapologetic about who we are and what we do. Because everybody is not going to do the same thing. God created us to have different visions. He created us to be different for a reason. If everybody was the same, the world would be totally boring. So just own who you are. And I feel like that is my calling, is to teach women and girls to own who you are and be okay with that. It's okay to not want to work a traditional job. If entrepreneurship is what you want to do, go after it. If you want to work a traditional 9-to-5, go after it. There is no one size fits all for nobody. Everybody is different. And just be the best at whatever you do.
Absolutely. Y'all heard that. That was, girl, you just spoke a word. Again.
Thank you. I have a passion for that because I think a lot, we can't put people in a box at the end of the day. And for so long, I put myself in a box and I don't want to do that anymore. And I don't want anybody else to do that either.
Live in your truth.
Live in your truth.
Because life is short. It kind of goes back to what we mentioned earlier about, Kobe and Miss Johnson. I think Miss Johnson, probably Katherine Johnson at the time. I mean, you got to think about time period. And even going back to the film Hidden Figures, these ladies could not use. You saw how far she had to run into the other building, which,
I know. I was like, ain't no way. See, my generation could have been back then. Because I'm not finna do all that.
How far she had to go use the restroom. It was raining on her head. It's like she probably didn't, for one, either one or two things. She knew her talent. She knew that God gave her this talent. Yeah, she probably self-sabotaged, but she went on and was like, you know what? If it weren't for me, I wouldn't make it up here. So she made it happen. And it's like, we see so many people in history or even in today's society doing so many things. And it's like, when it comes to ourselves, we're quick to be like, oh, I can't do that. They ain't gonna work for me. They can do it. I can't. What's so different between you and them?
And that's so unfortunate. And I was sharing this with, I was talking to some teachers because I did a vision board class with some high school students. And I was talking to some teachers at the high school and I was telling them, they were talking about this group they have at the school for the teen girls. And I was telling them, I said, I serve an extraordinary God. Why would I choose to be ordinary? That makes no sense to me. I never believed that you should live life at a base level and just playing it safe all the time. Now, of course, safety is good in some measure, but you shouldn't play safe all the time with every aspect of your life, because you'll never grow. You'll never grow. And like I said, we serve an extraordinary God. Why would we choose to be ordinary? That makes no sense to me.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because, I mean, he gives us everything we need. We just have to follow what's embedded in us. And it's...
And when we're not living out our true potential, I believe it's an insult to him. Because he gave it to us. And if we're not using it, I feel like it's a slap in the face. So let's marinate on that.
What did Country Wayne say? Marinate like neck bone juice?
Yes, let's marinate. Like, when you really think about that and let that sit, it does convict you, because you're thinking, you're right. It's like, you know, he gave us gifts on the inside. He planted gifts on the inside of us. And when we don't use them to their fullest potential, it's almost like an insult. Like, we're not grateful. Like, you have a voice to sing, but you choose not to do it. You know how many people would love to sing?
And some people be trying.
You know? There are so many people out there that probably want to sing, but they don't have that gift. But this person is choosing not to use that gift.
Yeah.
It's insulting.
You're absolutely right. And sometimes that gift, the very thing that you're trying to reach, that gift is going to send you to that point. But until you utilize that gift, it's just going to sit there. And that thought is just going to sit there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're so right. So right. And, you know, of course, you kind of had talked a lot about manifesting and just, you know, young women, especially what we just mentioned earlier about you reaching your full potential. Just your absolute full potential. What is one, I guess, last thing that you would want women to know, or our listeners to know, male or female, because maybe some guys listening, what would you want them to know about manifesting in this moment?
You can do anything you set your mind to. There's no goal too big that you cannot accomplish.
Yes.
So just do your very best in whatever is before you, whatever God has given you, and know that you can accomplish anything. And if you need some examples, Oprah Winfrey, Tyler Perry, they were regular, ordinary people at one point in their lives, and they have accomplished great things. I can name hundreds of people, but those are the first two that came to my mind. So you can't accomplish anything. There's no excuse. You can't use money as an excuse. You cannot use time as an excuse. There are no excuses. None. So if there's something in life you want to accomplish, and if you believe, let me just keyword, if you believe, got to work on that mindset. If you believe you can accomplish it, you can accomplish it. You have to put in the work.
Yes. So right. So right. So I do want to thank you again for being on this episode. I really hope that the listeners have taken in a lot of information that you gave. I mean, you done threw in some plugs in there about where they can purchase things from you and support you in your journey up to the crown next month. It's literally around the corner. And
yes,
just pretty much everything. This episode has been awesome. And I can't thank you enough for being on this episode with me on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And again, if you can inform the listeners, just in case they kind of may have been a little busy while listening to this episode, if you can kind of give them a rundown of some things you got going on that's coming up, and also your social media accounts to follow you.
All righty. Well, I will be competing in the Miss Natural Hair and Health Expo Beauty Pageant on Saturday, March 21st, 2020, at the Birmingham Jefferson Convention Complex, better known as the BJCC in Birmingham, Alabama. I do have tickets to the actual expo. Tickets are currently $15, and you can inbox me for tickets and I will make sure you get them. That ticket gives you access not only to the expo, but of course to the pageant as well, which will take place later on that evening. Also, when it comes to my social media, you can follow me on Facebook, Pinterest, and Instagram at Crystal Clear Pageantry, on Twitter at I Am Crystal Bell, and of course, my website, which is like a one-stop shop, is www.crystalclearpageantry.com. And Crystal is spelled KrystlE.
Awesome. And thank you. This will all be in the show notes for people to purchase tickets and to follow you on all your social media accounts so they can purchase books, they can purchase tickets, and they can listen in on your show. Well, for me, this weekend, I am busy, like super, super busy. Starting Friday, I actually was asked to be on the Young Alumni panel for my alma mater, the I love Jackson State University. They're hosting the National Alumni Association's Midwinter Conference that they have yearly, well, annually. It's twice a year, one in the fall, one in the spring. And I'm on the Young Alumni panel to talk about different things pertaining to, I guess, the involvement of our millennials to be more involved with the Alumni Association, which I'm very excited to talk about because it's kind of one of those things, you know, we attend college 3 or 4 or 5 or even 6 years, we finish and we think that's it. But one of the things that's important about alumni associations are being involved, even maybe you don't want to pay dues, but maybe you want to send 5 or 6 kids to whatever your institution of higher learning is, especially HBCUs. And I'm not trying to promote, but you know, HBCUs is like the groundwork. It's kind of one of those situations again, how, you know, we have to look at where they're located. They were located in rural or urban areas where majority blacks were, because they a lot of times could not attend the universities like the Ole Misses or the University of Alabama or any other universities, I guess what they would call PWIs, that would, you know, be open arms of African American students, where there is a, you know, there are institutions that did allow blacks to be educated and also to educate others. So, you know, that's just kind of one of those things that we have to kind of remember. Now, is it a problem with attending the PWI? No, not at all. But that's just stating that, you know, HBCUs were created for the very purpose of educating, you know, people of color and also pretty much everybody to come and be educated and develop things in their communities. So, also, I'm on maybe not the panel this time, but I am a special guest for this event. It's a couch discussion on love, mental health, and religion. It's at the Epicenter of Jackson. It's called a Millennial Night. The title of the event is Love Me or Love Me Not. So it's talking, of course, we're still in the love month. And a lot of times, especially dealing with spirituality and mental health, it's kind of how can I describe this? It's starting to become a simultaneous situation that a lot of people are trying to seek out help, as well as, you know, they're getting a spiritual fit, they're getting a spiritual food, but they might need a little bit of assistance from a clinician, a trained individual that, you know, recognize a few things. So, you know, it's doing a little bit more than prayer. You might have to see a therapist. You might have to, like Crystal mentioned earlier about the affirmations, maybe you need to take a moment to unplug, remove yourself from social media for a second, you know, things like that. So, It's going to be a really, really good conversation. I'm really excited about that because, like I mentioned earlier, outside of pageants, mental health is also my passion. So I'm very excited about that. The next day, I'm actually a special guest speaker for the Curvy Chic Business Brunch at Synergy Link in Jackson, which I've been kind of promoting about. The ticket information will also be in the show notes. If you haven't purchased your ticket, it's $10 to attend, which is fairly cheap. And last but not least, you guys can follow the Empower Her podcast pages on Instagram and both Facebook. It's Empower Her, EMPOWHER podcast on both of those pages for additional information on the show or just to kind of reach out to me. And I'm excited about that. One thing, sorry, guest, I'm about to go on another break for various reasons. I'll be pretty busy for these next 3 weeks. And I will return back to you guys on March 26, 2020. But until then, enjoy these 5 episodes that we have. You can comment, rate, share, and share with your friends and family. But until then, on March 26, 2020, I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. And I will see you soon. Thank you, Ms. Crystal, again for being on this episode. All right,
thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.